Picture an economist walking past a homeless person. While most of us feel immediate compassion, the economist's mind races to questions about housing policy, labor markets, and welfare incentives. This seemingly callous response captures why economics suffers such a troubled reputation. Yet this analytical distance isn't moral indifference. It's actually what makes economics invaluable for solving social problems. The discipline forces us to look beyond visible suffering to understand invisible victims, the jobs lost when we protect one industry, the housing shortages created by rent controls, the environmental damage shifted to other countries by well-meaning local policies. When Kyoto Protocol signatories reduced fossil fuel consumption, they inadvertently lowered global energy prices, encouraging greater consumption elsewhere. Good intentions without systemic thinking can backfire spectacularly. Economics doesn't ignore human suffering. It reveals the full scope of consequences our intuitions miss. We desperately want to believe what feels right. When presented with climate change evidence, Democrats grow more convinced, while Republicans become more skeptical, regardless of education level. This isn't stupidity. It's how human brains operate. We use mental shortcuts that focus on immediate, visible effects while overlooking indirect consequences rippling through complex systems. Consider confiscated ivory. Selling it feels morally repugnant, yet such sales might lower ivory prices, discourage poaching, and fund conservation. Our instincts rebel against this logic. The fundamental difference between medicine and economics lies in who bears the costs. Medical side effects typically affect the same patient receiving benefits. Economic policies scatter consequences across different people, often invisibly. When tariffs protect manufacturing jobs, we see grateful workers keeping positions. We don't see retail workers laid off because higher prices reduced consumer spending elsewhere. Markets efficiently allocate scarce resources by forcing trade-offs into the open through prices. Alternative methods, queues, lotteries, administrative distribution, simply hide costs while creating inefficiencies. Queues waste time. Corruption breeds injustice. Administrative systems fail to match goods with those who value them most. Making economics accessible requires effort from both sides. Economists must communicate beyond academic journals, while citizens must move beyond airport economics, those bestsellers predicting disaster or boundless optimism, to engage with deeper insights. Trust in free markets varies dramatically worldwide. 74% of Chinese and 71% of Americans embrace them, versus only 36% of French citizens. This reflects profound disagreements about what should and shouldn't be bought and sold. Kant distinguished between what has price and what has dignity, yet our moral intuitions about markets often mask standard economic problems rather than revealing genuine ethical boundaries. Information asymmetries explain why certain goods lose all value when monetized. Friendship purchased isn't friendship. University admission bought isn't achievement. These aren't market failures, they're definitional impossibilities. Externalities arise when markets ignore affected third parties, blood diamonds funding wars, pollution poisoning communities. Extrinsic motivations can crowd out intrinsic ones. Paying children to read might increase short-term reading but kill their love of learning. The organ market debate crystallizes these tensions. Gary Becker argued that prohibiting kidney sales condemns thousands to die yearly from donor shortages. Yet most recoil because donors might lack information about long-term consequences, poor people might make desperate choices they'll regret, and criminal organizations might coerce vulnerable people. Our indignation signals something troubling, yet feelings of revulsion provide unreliable ethical guidance. Life insurance and interest-bearing loans were once considered immoral. Carbon trading gained acceptance once people understood its environmental benefits. Scandinavian countries demonstrate that market economies can coexist with strong taxation to reduce inequality. The relationship between markets and fairness isn't predetermined. Economists occupy a paradoxical position, simultaneously envied and denigrated, suspected yet sought after. Academic researchers enjoy rare privilege, a profession driven by intrinsic motivation, what Jean-Jacques Lafont called being crazy about research. Henri Poincaré described research's intellectual ecstasy as lightning in the middle of a long night. Yet this implicit contract between citizen taxpayers and researchers faces mounting challenges as public trust in expertise erodes. Economics qualifies as scientific because its hypotheses are explicit and testable, its conclusions follow logical reasoning, and its theories can be validated statistically. However, two obstacles limit predictability: incomplete information and strategic uncertainty, where individual choices depend on others' choices. This creates self-fulfilling prophecies. Bank runs happen because people expect them. Currency attacks succeed because traders believe they will. Economic modeling resembles engineering, simplifying reality to focus on essentials while accepting trade-offs between realism and analytical tractability. Theory provides the conceptual framework for interpreting data, while empirical evidence validates or challenges theories. This interplay distinguishes economics from ideology. When economists failed to predict the 2008 crisis, it wasn't due to lack of scientific rigor. It was because incomplete information about bank balance sheets and strategic interactions among financial institutions created genuine uncertainty that no mathematical sophistication could eliminate. Traditional economics assumed Homo economicus, the rational, self-interested decision maker. Real humans behave quite differently. We procrastinate despite knowing better, creating conflicts between present and future selves. Neuroscience reveals these conflicts activate different brain regions. Immediate rewards trigger the limbic system, while delayed rewards engage the prefrontal cortex. This isn't weakness, it's human architecture. We make systematic errors in forming beliefs, misunderstanding probability, and failing to update with new information. We expect compensation after streaks, thinking a coin that landed heads 5 times is due for tails. We demonstrate empathy beyond mere self-interest. The hormone oxytocin increases trust, as shown in trust games where players risk giving money to strangers who might not reciprocate. Reciprocity proves powerful. We feel obligated to those showing generosity and may seek revenge against wrongdoers. This transforms incentive design. The multitasking problem occurs when incentivizing measurable outcomes causes neglect of less measurable tasks, teachers focusing on exam preparation over critical thinking. Extrinsic rewards can crowd out intrinsic motivation, potentially reducing effort in activities like blood donation. Economics has evolved beyond simplistic carrot and stick models to recognize human motivation is complex and contextual. In a world where populist politicians exploit economic anxieties with simple solutions, economics matters more than ever. Not as cold-hearted calculation, but as a discipline that forces us to confront trade-offs and think systematically about improving human welfare. Climate change, digital disruption, inequality, these problems don't yield to good intentions alone. Economics doesn't have all the answers. As an inexact science dealing with uncertainty and incomplete information, it offers approximations rather than certainties. But it provides something invaluable, a framework for thinking clearly about difficult choices, seeing beyond visible effects to hidden consequences, and balancing competing values. The invisible hand of markets and the visible hand of thoughtful regulation aren't opposites, they're partners in creating flourishing societies. The real tragedy isn't that economics feels cold, it's that we've forgotten why analytical distance matters. When immediate emotional responses guide policy without systematic thinking, we often harm those we're trying to help. Economics, properly understood and humbly applied, expands human freedom and opportunity. It creates systems where people pursue their own visions of the good life while remaining accountable for costs they impose on others. In an age of easy answers, we need economics, not despite its rigor, but because of it.